Hey everybody, welcome to 10-7. Hello everybody, welcome to 10-7 Live. I'm sorry we got off to a late start. But the topic of today's show is the miseducation of race. The big question of today's show is, how is it that African-American students can go to a predominantly white institution for their education where they are paying pretty much full price for their education, and you have school administrators and faculty members along with students, their educational process using race as a device? How is this possible? That is the biggest question. How is this possible? This should not be happening. Well, University of Missouri, quote unquote, should have a good reputable reputation as far as equal rights are concerned and things of that nature. Number one, they should. You know what I'm saying? Remember, after all, just a season ago, a All-American defensive end by the name of Michael Sam, who was the SEC's best defender, came out that he was a homosexual. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, from what we know, a lot of people at the university knew that he was gay. And, you know, so just on the stance of Michael Sam, you know, one would assume that this is a very open-minded and progressive university. However, that is not so. I do remember a story a few years back where a swimmer who was female was pretty much, she pretty much was disrespected by the university, the athletic department, and everything. The young lady ended up going into depression and ended up killing herself. And she was an athlete that called the University of Mississippi home. I mean, University of Missouri home. So these are things that we have to factor in when we're talking about this situation. Now, let's get down to over the last few months, a lot of things have come to the racial forefront here in Columbia, Missouri. A lot of things have come to the forefront racially on this campus. A movement called Concerned Students 1950 has started. And basically, the African-American student community has started to rebel. I saw footage of homecoming where, you know, these kids were, these kids literally were tired of being violated, you know, having their civil rights being violated. And, you know, so it's almost like the demonstration at the homecoming parade, where they stood in front of the lead vehicle in the parade and were literally just spitting out facts about the university, where they were pretty much historical facts that can be backed up. These things are documented, where the university said African Americans couldn't do this, African Americans do that. That means they went from the very inception of the university all the way back to today. And so a young man came out of the crowd, you know, basically like, do this somewhere else, do this somewhere else. And their whole stance was, why do this somewhere else when our own president isn't even taking this seriously. What are you talking about? And they were well within their rights taking the stance that they took as far as that was concerned. And there are a lot of African Americans today that look at all the things that are happening, but they're not seeing it from a big picture perspective. They're looking at it from one side. It's just crazy. And, you know, I'm a criminal justice major, so I'm looking at it from two perspectives. Me and a young lady a couple months back had a talk about the whole Sandra Bland incident. And I'm explaining to her why that officer was in the wrong. You know what I'm saying? And I was explaining to her why Sandra Bland reacted the way she did to Officer Encinia, if that's his name. You know, because when you come from an inner city and you're stopped by a cop that doesn't look like you, which means that he does not live in your neighborhood, you're going to be on edge and nervous. And if he says something out of pocket, it's going to trigger people to react a certain way. I'm not giving Sandra Bland a pass at all, but she's from Chicago. She's seen a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm not giving her a pass on how she spoke to the cop, but he was all kinds of wrong. Number one, a vehicle is a citizen's private. It's almost the equivalent to a house. You can't forcefully go into a person's house without probable cause. Now, true enough, he stopped her. All he had to do was literally write out the ticket, give her the ticket, and leave. It could have ended right there. He saw she was distressed, and then took it farther than he should have. The first rule that he broke was, first of all, he reached in her vehicle. That's the first thing. Now, the legal language of lawful orders is tricky when dealing with certain people. There's always a back door to the rule when it comes to people of color. There's always a back door to the rule. The police said, step up. First of all, if he asked, now, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you right now, he could have asked Sandra to get out the car. She is well within her rights to say no. She then has the constitutional right to ask, why do you want me to get out of the car? Now, unless she was being arrested, he had no business asking her to step out of that car. Now, that's just police procedure 101. Everything that he did was extra and should not have happened. That female officer just added insult to injury on Mr. Encinia's part. Now, everything that happened in the jail after that, we still don't know to this day what actually happened. No footage has popped up. None. Now, let's go back to the Missouri situation. Now, how is it that white students who don't have the grades or GPA who don't meet the grade requirement to get into predominantly white institutions can get a minority scholarship with probably the lowest GPA possible, and can go to a university on the states down, not necessarily go on the states down, but under minority scholarship. Now, I'm pretty sure at most PWIs in America, for the African American to get a minority scholarship, he has to have at least a 3.5 GPA and at least score at least a 26 or better on his ACT, his or her ACT. Now, how is it that I've had teammates from high school get full-ride minority scholarships to historically black colleges and universities, and they graduate with a 2.0 GPA and probably the lowest basic ACT score to get into school. And nobody messed with them the whole time they're in school. How is that possible? But yet you have African-Americans at PWIs like the University of Missouri paying full ticket if they're not an athlete or if they don't already have a scholarship of some type. You got students paying full ticket, taking out loans to go to these schools, but yet they have a president, a chancellor, and other racist students hampering their education. How is it that white students can come to historical black colleges and not go through anything, go through their whole matriculation untouched, but yet an African-American student at a PWI cannot receive that same satisfactory education, or not necessarily the same satisfactory education, but they can't receive the same peaceful education as them? How is that possible? Don't worry, I'll wait. I have all day. But it is just something that has been, that is just a question that needs to be asked. How is this possible? I don't want to hear any bull jive about, oh, it's all about the kind of school that they came from, or it's all about this and that, da 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 da. No. Let's say what it is and tell it what it is. It has all to do and everything to do with RACE, race. Nobody wants to say it except the people who have to deal with it every day. How is it that things can happen to us racially? When we talk about it, we're playing the race card or race baiting, but when we want to talk about and dialogue with people who don't look like us, you know what I'm saying? The topic does not, when it's initiated, when the topic of race is initiated by us, we're race baiting, we're race baiting. We are literally trying to see what it is that you have against us, or vice versa. We're trying to get a dialogue going so we can understand each other better. That's all it pretty much is. But when you bring it up, whenever people who are not African American or a minority bring up the subject of race, they always turn it into a class thing. It never stays on the issue of race when the majority who is involved brings up the subject. It's always turned into a money issue or a community issue or an education issue. That has nothing to do with it. Right now, education just seems to be a, another business outside of the African American. Education is nothing but another private business outside of education. It's all about numbers. When the numbers are down, they want to raise rates. When I started college in the fall of 2000 at Jackson State University, I was just under the impression that my education was very, very affordable. But if you look at the cost of education now, it's almost doubled, if not doubled, for an out-of-state student. That's just something that's just something we have to address. How is it that a white female student from Mississippi who doesn't get into Mississippi State, Ole Miss, or Southern Miss, and doesn't want to go to Belhaven and Mississippi College, but they get a full ride minority scholarship to Jackson State, and they can go there at full matriculation and not face any resistance whatsoever. You know what I'm saying? But, like I said, a regular African-American student who is not an athlete, who is not on scholarship, who is paying full price, full ticket, for everything, can go or gets into the university. You know, they get into the door with their grades. They might have a 3.0, but they have a 2.5, 2.6, or 2.7. You know? They may not have those high grades, but at the same time, the fact of the matter is they got in, their grades were good enough for them to get in. That is the main issue here. They get in, but they end up coming against so much resistance due to the color of their skin. How is this possible? How is that possible? It should not be possible at all. It should not be possible at all. People just don't understand. That should not be possible at all. But and the show is coming to an end. We're definitely going to talk about this again, the Miseducation of Race show. We'll be coming soon, probably tomorrow, probably about the same time. Now, I'm going to say this. Everybody out there that's African American or minority, whether you are Hispanic, Asian, Pacific Islander, Middle Eastern, African, where or whatever, be careful, spirits high, keep your head up, and just focus on the goal at hand. Go and get that degree to make your life better. Make your family proud. Don't let anybody or anything stand in the way. I have to remind myself of this every day. You know, your education and your degree is way bigger than you. It's way bigger than you.
60 seconds.
So, until next time, this is AJ Jones, 107 Live. Remember, tomorrow's show will be part two of the Miseducation of Race. Tomorrow, if you want to call in, the number is 323-417-07. 323-417-6807. Until next time, we'll see you later. until next time, we'll see you later, which will probably be tomorrow at 2:30. Much love. God bless. Peace out. Be blessed, people, and keep watching.